So Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are our rock. The Lord lives. Blessed be the rock who is our refuge. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the rock of our salvation. You are the stone rejected by the builders. Has become the cornerstone, and we honor you today, Lord Jesus, for all that you do, for life and hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for changing our lives. Thank you for saving us. We pray for those who are here today who do not know Jesus as Savior. May they find today joy in following Jesus. We thank you, Lord. You are the rock. You are strong, and you never fail us. We praise you for it today. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Wasn't that a blessing from the choir? Again, we're always blessed by the choir. Thank you, choir. Steve, Lori, everyone. If you have your Bibles, take them and find your place in Ephesians 6. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today. If you're a guest, please come by and greet my wife, Pat, and I would love to see you, and some others of our folks will be back there. Just let us know who you are. We're honored to have you here if you're a guest. For all of us who are regular folks, who come every week. These days we're talking about the importance of understanding why trials and troubles come in our life to test our faith in God. So today we consider tested faith, what it means for us to have our faith tested by our trials and our troubles. The thing we'll discover today is that trials are only one part of the test that comes in our faith. The other has to do with temptation. Trials and temptation. So today we go to a very famous place in the Bible, one that many of you probably are familiar with, some may not be. The majority of you are, in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church, and he's finishing up his comments to them. And he comes to talk about armor of God. We don't wear armor in our day and time. Paul's describing the armor used by the Roman soldier of his own day. And he describes all these various elements of the armor, so it reminds us armor must mean that there's a battle. Yes, there is. Today, our focus will be only on thinking about one part of the armor of God, and that has to do with the shield of faith. If you knew every day there would be a bully outside your door who was going to do his best to destroy you and harm you, you would be paying attention. The sad thing is that most of us in the church are asleep to what I'll be talking about today. We are so enamored by our troubles and worried about our trials, we forget that along with trials, there are great temptations, and there is one who is the evil one who seeks to discredit your testimony for Jesus, who seeks to tempt you to unbelief and to not follow God, and who seeks to accuse you for being a follower of Jesus. Oh, this is very important. And he's far more than a bully. We're going to read here in a moment. He's called the evil one. There's only one called the evil one. That is Satan, who God created as a magnificent, glorious, powerful archangel, who chose, how we don't understand, to rebel against God and say, I'll be God, and drew away 2/3 of the angels created to honor and glorify God. And this very hour, alive, this created being, roaming around the earth, still having accountability to God in heaven. We don't understand all the things that the Bible teaches us, but he is the one who hates God, and he hates every Christian who calls the name of Jesus. And if you're one of them, that puts you on his list. What I speak to you about today is not to bring fear of this one, but to make you aware of this one. If you knew the bully was outside your door every day, you'd be ready. Sadly, we're not all ready. And all the trials that come along, it seems like there's someone behind all of this who's trying to just join in putting his foot on our neck and draw us away. You know, sometimes in the greatest of temptation, the greatest of trials, you have the greatest of temptations. So Paul is reminding us that there is a battle going on today. Oh, my dear friends, I love you in Jesus. I must tell you this. We live in this world of endless schemes and an endless battle until our time is done on this earth as God's people with the evil one, who means no good for you. And this is not something you can do for your family. This is not something you can do for your spouse. You have to deal with this yourself. That's why these words become very important to us. And I'm convinced that the Lord allows trouble to come in my life, not only to wake me up, but also I'm reminded that He permits the evil one to do his work to wake me up and allow me to pay attention to the importance of trusting God by faith in all the circumstances of life. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll only read a portion of this section. Paul starts talking about the armor of God in verse number 10 of chapter 6, but we'll pick up reading in verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins, your waist with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod or prepared your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then our focus today, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your Word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So there are some general things while you have your Bible open before I get to just a couple of specific observations. In verse number 10, Paul starts by reminding us of something in our trouble and in our temptations. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. Some of us wake up and say, okay, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to really try to endure. It'll never last. You must be strong in the Lord. And one of the first lessons that all of us in this place must learn in following Jesus is how to live in the power of God. And that's a very important lesson. Not for today, but a very important lesson. Finally, be strong in the Lord, church. Spoken to our people about this all morning. Notice in verse number 12, we have a struggle. The New American Standard reads, which is what I read from, for our struggle, but you may have a Bible that reads, for we wrestle not. This word struggle is the word for wrestling. Wrestling is an individual sport. It's hand to hand. It's face to face. It's the wrestling that grab, looking for the opportunity. The wrestler looks for an opportunity, a handhold, a foothold, some kind of connecting the leg or the other to drop their opponent. Wrestling is an exhausting sport, and you and I are wrestling today as followers of Jesus with a potent but defeated enemy. He says to us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against, here's the first description, the schemes of the devil. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not exaggerating. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your adversary, the devil, the evil one, and all of his cohorts in verse number 12, these ones that are rulers and powers and principalities of the darkness, and these forces around us that oppose the ways of God, oppose the gospel of Jesus and the preaching of the word of God, oppose the church, stand against the truth of God, and all that it is, these forces seek to tempt and distract and accuse and disrupt the work of the gospel and the ways of God's people. The devil in his scheming, he knows human nature. He understands how humans live and how they act, and he understands how they think. He is not God. He is a created being, fallen from heaven in rebellion against God, and will one day be in the lake of fire, completing his judgment. But I want you all to know today, the devil has an objective. His objective is to take as many human beings from all the generations until Jesus comes, and his fate is settled to hell with him. He is not your friend. He is an evil one who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Some of my modern educated friends would smile and say, Pastor Mike, it's 2019. Do you still believe in the fable of a devil and demons? I would answer, look at the world. Look at the world. Look at the condition. Those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, you are still under the power and dominion in the deadness of your sin. You're under the power of the evil one. He is, Jesus called him, the prince of this world. Along with my trouble, there is this one who opposes God's people. And every day he schemes endlessly. And every day we struggle. The wrestling is real. So we come to verse 16 and we look at this very important reference to our faith. Here we learn a wonderful truth. Tested faith protects us from the evil one. Tested faith protects us from the evil one. And Paul picks up and says, in addition to all, he's been talking about all of the rest of this armor. The Roman soldier would wear this armor. Roman soldiers were known for their ruthlessness. They were known for their power and strength in battle. All of their gear was front forward. This shield was a body shield, not a circle shield, to protect the entire body in battle. And when Roman soldiers locked their shields, their door shields together, they weren't moving. They were there to fight to the death. That's why Paul says, stand firm, resist, stand firm, resist. Because you have a real enemy. This is not a hypothetical. This is not something that you might want to just take aside and think about sometime. You have someone, if you are a follower of Jesus, who opposes you because you name the name of Jesus. So what do we learn? First observation, the shield of faith in God protects us from the evil one, verse 16. Notice the first phrase, in addition to all, taking up, this is a present tense verb, taking up the shield of faith, taking up the shield of faith. You might read it this way from the original language, raise the shield of faith. Keep your shield raised. There's a great story among the stories of the Roman soldiers that one of the commanders, they always fought alongside of the rest of the soldiers, This warfare was hand to hand. It was brutal. It was face to face. And this commander was knocked out in the battle. He was unconscious. He woke up, the battle still going on all around and raging, and he yelled to his lieutenant, "Where is my shield? Where is your shield of faith? Oh, I'm in such dilemma. I have such pain in my life. I have such trials." Yes, and you have an adversary, and you must keep your shield raised. You see, this is how we have protection. Our faith in God, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him." Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." Oh, this is so important, my dear friends, for you to know today. I ask you, where is your shield of faith? The second observation goes along with this. It shows us that we have the ability to overcome this evil one who seems to have such power. You see, our tested faith in God extinguishes the attacks of the evil one. Please read in verse 16, "Taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish" what? "All the fiery arrows of the evil one." 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of your life, all tied into this relentless challenge of our trials, coming and going in the waves and living in them by faith, enduring our trials by faith until we're proven, like Paul said to us last week, until we have hope. We're in the midst of these trials, and this enemy relentlessly fires fiery arrows at you. Flaming arrows of the evil one. Arrows of temptation. If the Lord Jesus was tempted, I promise you, as a follower of Jesus, your temptations aren't over now that you're saved. They've just begun. Arrows of temptation. Arrows of accusation. You don't deserve to be a child of God. Where does that come from? You don't deserve to be forgiven. Where does that come from? These arrows. Accusation. Arrows of disruption. Life seems to be moving. All of a sudden, something happens in all the circumstances of life in this world. We cannot explain it. Fiery arrows. These Roman soldiers would dip their arrow in the poison just to add a little bit of pain more. If the arrow found its mark in someone, not only generally did they die, but all the way to their death, their flesh was on fire. Arrows are swift to hit their mark. It's just a glance with your eye, and the temptation comes. Arrows come from secret places. We don't know where. That's why hunters, just like my grandson, they hide out, but they've got their bow and they're ready, and the unsuspecting deer dies from the shot. These arrows are swift and secret and silent. Where do they come from? You see, this is about awareness. This is about understanding that in the midst of my trials, it's more than that. By faith, I endure and stand, and I live in the faith that has saved me by trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord for heaven. I live my life trusting Jesus in all the trouble, recognizing that I have a formidable enemy who's firing arrows at me, but look, they are extinguishable. You see, faith extinguishes these fiery arrows. You know, I put it here for you. It's a familiar verse. You know what the world's like? 1 John 2:16, "For all that's in the world," this is describing the human being in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Oh, how Satan knows that to be true of every one of us. Temptations that come to us in the lust of our flesh. I was reading in preparation for teaching the church on Wednesday nights. We're going through the book of 12, which is called the Minor Prophets. We're in Hosea. Hosea describes how giving in to sin and the lust of sin and sexual sin is like fire. I'll read it to you, Hosea 7, verse number 4. They are all adulterers, Hosea says, of Israel. Like an oven heated by the baker. For their hearts, verse 6, this is Hosea 7, 6, for their hearts are like an oven. As they approach their plotting, their anger smolders all night. Verse 7, all of them are hot like an oven. And when we find ourselves yielding to temptation as believers and we yield quickly to those arrows of the lust of the flesh, we forget what the Bible says. Faith has a response to the lusts of the flesh. Hebrews 11, 25 says that Moses was an example. He chose ill treatment rather than the pleasures of passing sin. Oh, my friend, when you allow temptation to sexual immorality and that arrow to hit you, that fiery arrow, oh, how the fire burns in the lusts of our flesh. The ability not to have satisfaction, but driven. This world is consumed and eaten up by lusts of the flesh. Faith says, no, I will remain in my pain before I will yield to those sins. That's why you have the shield of faith. What about the lust of the eyes? You see it and you want it. Your flesh, oh, how the devil knows. He knows our ways. He knows our tendencies. You saw it. You wanted it. It's the eye of covetousness. I want that. That shiny thing. What did Eve do? She saw that the apple was good and pleasant and beautiful. And she took it and ate it. The lust of the eyes. Your eye will never be satisfied, my friend. Your fleshly eyes want more. You must learn with the shield of faith. When the arrows come, the arrows that seek to draw you to pleasure, your flesh, and your eyes wish and desire for things, you must remember, I have one verse for you, Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will never be satisfied, nor he who loves abundance. You just want more. Your eye sees it and you want more of it. It was never enough. It's in us. It's part of the old nature in you and me. And the evil one knows the nature of how God made human beings, and the arrows fly. The pride of life. This shield of faith. Do you have it up? You must have it up, because we live in a world filled where we are drawn away by the temptations of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, after all, I'm the center of the world. I'm the most important person in the world. Serve me, pamper me, care for me, do for me. I've said to you many times, the most popular word in preschool today is mine. And it's a popular word with adults also. Tested faith in God extinguishes these arrows. Oh, by the way, the response of faith to the pride of life, well, Hebrews 11, 24. Moses again. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that would have put him ahead, wouldn't it? Why, I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Aren't I important? Aren't I significant? No, but faith says, no, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you humble yourself. You run away from pride, and anything that feeds your flesh and your desire to compliment yourself, you watch that covetous eye. And oh, my friend, how the fire burns when the arrow hits you and you do not have your shield up. And I'm speaking to every single one of you who's a believer, because you're all vulnerable just like I am. You don't get past the age of temptation. Like the young man asked me, I guess it was because I was old, do old people get tempted? Yes. Yes, they do. So we have a common condition, but we have a remedy in this shield. But I ask you today, are you like the general? You've been unconscious. The battle's been raging. Where's your shield? And have you raised up your shield? So I quickly come to this. So how do we use the shield of faith? How do we use it? Well, we pray by faith. We don't just ramble on and talk to the Lord and tell Him things. No, you exercise your faith as you pray. What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 7:7, these very familiar words, all of you know them. Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and it shall be given to you. Jesus said also, in fact, we have it here. I won't spend much time, but to read it in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. When do I pray? I pray in faith all the time. I pray in faith all the time in the Spirit. And I'm alert in my praying with all perseverance, endurance. And I petition God for my friends, my saints, brothers and sisters who are saints in God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:41, I hope you're listening, keep watching and praying so that you do not enter into temptation. You got to watch. You've got to pray in faith. You've got to expect that when you pray in faith, this is raising your shield now. This is how you raise it up. This is how you use the shield of faith. You pray by faith. You bring the promises of God before Him. You ask the Lord to help you based on the promises of God, and then you expect by faith that He will do what He says He will do. I love the story of the two blind men in Matthew 9. They came to Jesus asking to be healed. And you know what Jesus said? This might be the most important question for you today. Here's what He asked them. Do you believe I can heal you? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Oh, you're in the midst of your troubles. You're in the midst of the trials you're going through. You're discouraged. You're in despair. Do you believe God can help you? Is anything too hard for God? Are you able to say, I believe God will help me out of this circumstance. I expect it to be true. And these two blind men in such pitiful condition, you know what they said? Yes, we believe. And Jesus